Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karabhavahai, Tejasvina Patitamastu, Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Let's do a universal peace invocation, Swasti Pajabya. We haven't done this one for a while. Just want to make sure it's still not. Repeat after me. Om Swasti Pajabya Paripalayantam.
Om Swasti Pajabya Paripalayantam.
Swasti Pajabya Paripalayantam. Nyayena margena mahim mahishah. Nyayena margena mahim mahishah. Go pramane pyashubhamastu nityam. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu.
Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu.
Swasti prajabhya paripalayantam.
Swasti prajabhya paripalayantam.
Nyayena margena mahim mahishah. Go Brahmane Pyashubhamastu Nityam.
Go Brahmane Pyashubhamastu Nityam.
Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu.
Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu.
Kale Varshatu Parajanyaha.
Kale Varshatu Parajanyaha.
Kale Varshatu Parajanyaha. Prithivi sasya shalini. Prithivi sasya shalini.
Prithivi sasya shalini.
Desho yam kshobharahitaha.
Desho yam kshobharahitaha.
Brahmana santu nirbhayaha.
Brahmana santu
nirbhayaha.
Brahmana santu nirbhayaha.
Kale varshatu parjanyaha.
Kale varshatu parjanyaha.
Prithivi sasya shalini.
Prithivi sasya shalini.
Desho yam kshobharahitaha. Brahmana santu nirbhayaha.
Brahmana santu nirbhayaha.
Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha.
Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha.
Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha.
Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha.
Sarve santu niramayaha.
Sarve santu niramayaha.
Sarve bhadrani pashyantu.
Sarve bhadrani pashyantu.
Ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet.
Ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet.
Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha.
Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha.
Sarve santu niramayaha.
Sarve santu niramayaha.
Sarve bhadrani pashyantu.
Sarve bhadrani pashyantu.
Ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet.
Ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet.
Asato ma sadgamaya.
Asato ma sadgamaya.
Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya. Mrityor ma amritam gamaya.
Mrityor ma amritam gamaya.
Asato ma sad gamaya.
Asato ma sad gamaya.
Tamaso ma jyotir gamaya. Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya.
Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Try to follow along with me as I chant it through. Om Om Swasti Prajapyat Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmane Vyashubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Pavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho yam sho parahitaha brahmana santu nirpayaha sarve bhavantu sukhinaha sarve santu niramayaha sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kashchit dukha bhag bhavet asato ma satgamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritam gamaya, om shanti shanti shanti. Let's do the Ganapati mantra. Om Ganana Antwa Ganapati Gum Havamahe. Om Ganana Antwa Ganapati Gum Havamahe. Kavinka Vinam Upamashravastamam. Kavinka Vinam Upamashravastamam. Jeshtarajam Brahmanam. Jeshtarajam Brahmanam. Brahmanaspata-anashrinvan, Nuti-bhissi-dasadhanam,
Nuti-bhissi-dasadhanam,
Mahaganapataye-namaha,
Mahaganapataye-namaha.
Om, let's do it together. Om Ganana-antwa, Ganapati gum havamahe kavin kavinam upamashravastamam jeshtarajam brahmanam brahmanaspata anashrinvannuti pisidasadhanam mahaganapataye namaha om ganana antwa Ganapati gum havamahe kavin kavinam upamashravastamam jeshtarajam brahmanam brahmanaspata anashrinvannuti bhissidasadhanam mahaganapataye namaha.
Good. Become really conscious again of the linguals, especially the na and na. Be conscious of the linguals and the aspirate on the lingual aspirates, like in the second line, jeshta, jeshtarajam. So let's try it, becoming conscious of it.
Om ganana antwa ganapati gum havamahe kavin kavinam upamashravastamam jeshtarajam brahmanam Brahmanaspata anashrinvannuti bhissidasadhanam Mahaganapataye namaha.
A little faster.
Om ganana antwa ganapatikum havamahe kavinka vinam upamashravastamam Jeshtarajam brahmanam brahmanaspata anashrinvannuti bhissidasadhanam mahaganapataye namaha
Ganana Antwa Ganapati Gum Hava Mahe Kavim Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanas Pataana Shrimban Nutibhisi Prasadhanam Mahaganapataye Namaha Om Ganana Antwa Ganapati Gum Hava Mahe Kavim Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanas Pataana Shrimban Nutibhisi Prasadhanam Mahaganapataye Namaha.
Good, that's nice. So repeat after me. Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan.
Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan.
Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya.
Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya.
Mahadevaya.
Mahadevaya.
Trayambakaya.
Trayambakaya.
Tripurandakaya.
Tripurandakaya.
Trikalagnikalaya.
Trikalagnikalaya.
Kalagnirudraya.
Kalagnirudraya.
Nilakantaya.
Nilakantaya.
Mrityunjayaya.
Mrityunjayaya.
Sarveshwaraya.
Sarveshwaraya.
Sadashivaya.
Sadashivaya.
Shriman Mahadevaya Namaha.
Shriman Mahadevaya Namaha.
Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya.
Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya.
Mahadevaya Trayambakaya.
Mahadevaya Trayambakaya.
Tripurandakaya. Trikalagnikalaya.
Tripurandakaya. Trikalagnikalaya.
Tripurandakaya. Trikalagnikalaya.
Tripurandakaya. Trikalagnikalaya.
Kalagnirudraya Nilakantaya.
Kalagnirudraya Nilakantaya.
Mrityunjayaya Sarveshwaraya. Sadashivaya Shriman Mahadevaya Namaha.
Sadashivaya Shriman Mahadevaya Namaha.
Did I get it? Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Trayambakaya Tripurandakaya Trikalagnikalaya, Kalagnirudraya, Nilakantaya, Mrityunjayaya, Sarveshwaraya, Sadashivaya, Shriman Mahadevaya Namaha. Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Trayambakaya Tripurandakaya Trikalagnikalaya Kalagnirudraya Nilakantaya Mrityunjayaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Shriman Mahadevaya Namaha. Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Trayambakaya Tripurandakaya Trikalagnikalaya Kalagnirudraya Nilakantaya Mrityunjayaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Shriman Mahadevaya Namaha. Notice that we're not leaving any extra gap between the words. Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Trayambakaya Tripurandakaya Trikalagnikalaya Kalagnirudraya Nilakantaya Mrityunjayaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Shriman Mahadevaya Namaha. One more time.
Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Trayambakaya Tripurandakaya Trikalavnikalaya Kalavnirudraya Nilakantaya Mrityunjayaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Sriman Mahadevaya Namaha.
That's good. We'll keep working on it. Getting better. Okay. Let's go to Guru Vandanam. Shruti Smriti Purananam.
Shruti Smriti Purananam.
Alayam Karunalayam.
Alayam Karunalayam.
Namami Bhagavat Pada.
Namami Bhagavat Pada.
Shankaram Loka Shankaram.
Shankaram Loka Shankaram.
Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam.
Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam.
Namami Bhagavat Pada Shankaram Loka Shankaram.
Namami Bhagavat Pada Shankaram Loka Shankaram.
Together. Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam. Namami Bhagavat Pada Shankaram Loka Shankaram. Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam. Namami Bhagavat Pada Shankaram Loka Shankaram. Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam. Namami Bhagavat Pada Shankaram Loka Shankaram. Sadashiva Samarambham. Sadashiva Samarambham. Shankaracharya Madhyamam.
Shankaracharya Madhyamam.
Asmaracharya Paryantam.
Asmaracharya Paryantam.
Vande Guru Paramparam.
Vande Guru Paramparam.
Sadashiva Samarambham.
Sadashiva
Samarambham.
Sadashiva Samarambham.
Shankaracharya Madhyamam.
Shankaracharya Madhyamam.
Shankaracharya Madhyamam.
Shankaracharya Madhyamam.
Asmaracharya Paryantam.
Asmaracharya
Paryantam.
Asmaracharya Paryantam.
Asmad Acharya Paryantam. Asmad Acharya Paryantam.
Asmaracharya Paryantam.
Acharya. Asmad Acharya. Asmaracharya Paryantam.
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 Vande Guru Paramparam.
Vande Guru Paramparam.
Vande Guru Paramparam.
Vande Guru Paramparam.
Guru Paramparam.
Guru Paramparam.
Vande Guru Paramparam.
Vande Guru Paramparam.
Let's do it together. Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam. Asmaracharya Paryantam. Vande Guru Paramparam. Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam. Asmaracharya Paryantam. Vande Guru Paramparam. Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam. Asmaracharya Paryantam. Vande Guru Paramparam. Sadashiva Samarambham
Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmaracharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam
Shankaram Shankaracharyam
Shankaram Shankaracharyam
Shankaram Shankaracharyam
Shankaram Shankaracharyam
Keshavam Badarayanam
Keshavam Badarayanam
Keshavam
Badarayanam
Sutra Bhashya Kratau Vande
Sutra Bhashya Kratau Vande
Sutra Bhashya Kratau Vande
Sutra Bhashya Kratau Vande
Bhagavantau Punah Punaha Okay, let's go through this word by word. Breaking the Sunday. Shankaram. Shankaram. Shankara Acharyam. Shankara Acharyam. So Shankaram and Shankara Acharyam. Keshavam. 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 Badarayanam.
Badarayanam.
Badarayanam. Keshavam Badarayanam.
Keshavam Badarayanam.
Sutra Sutra Bhasha Kritau.
Sutra Bhasha Kritau.
Sutra Bhasha Kritau.
Sutra Bhasha Kritau.
Vande.
Vande.
Bhagavantau.
Bhagavantau.
Punah Punaha.
Punah Punaha.
Shankaram is also a name for Shiva, the one who is most auspicious. So Shankaram. Shankaracharyam. Shankaracharya means the one who has written all the bhashas that we study. You know, Shankaracharya. So Shankaram Shiva, just word for word now. Shankaracharyam, Shankaracharya. Okay, these are all in accusatives. Ram, Ramaha, Ramal, Ram, Ramaha, Ramam, accusative singular. Okay, everybody get that? Shankaram, Shankaracharyam, Keshavam. Keshavam is a word for Krishna, for Vishnu. Badarayanam. Badarayana is Vyasa. Badarayana. So it's a name for Vyasa, who I'll tell you in a minute. Vyasa is the one who wrote the Brahma Sutras. The Brahma Sutra, the aphorisms themselves, were written by Vyasa, by Badarayana. Shankara wrote the Bhasha to those aphorisms, okay, to the sutras.
So when they're talking about Shankara, is it always referring to Vishnu, and Shankara Acharya is always referring to the person who wrote the Bhasha?
When we say Shankaracharya, we're always really, almost always, referring to Shankara, who wrote the Bhashas, to the Upanishads and to the Brahma Sutras, and also wrote a lot of other things too, Prakarna Granthas. However, Shankara, as Shankaracharya, is the name that was passed down then to all of the Shankaracharyas through the ages. Right, so there's many Shankaracharyas, all starting with Shankara. So usually when we talk about Shankaracharya, we're referring to Shankara, the original Shankara who wrote these bhashas. Shankaracharya also is often just referred to as Shankara. Shankara or Shankaracharya is almost always referring to Shankara who wrote the commentaries. However, when you have Shankaram, Shankaracharyam, then the first Shankara is referring to somebody else. So Shankara is also that who is most auspicious, is also a name for Shiva. So here when you say Shankaram, Shankaracharyam, you would translate as Shankaracharya, who has written all of the bhashas, all of these commentaries that we study, the one who's in the middle of the Sampradaya, you know, starting with Sadashiva, Shankara in the middle, and my teacher at the end, the previous verse that we did last week. So now we have Shankara, the Lord Shiva, Shankaracharyam. So Shankaracharya, who is the Lord Shiva, or the Lord Shiva, who is Shankaracharya? You know, because Shankaracharya is often phrased as what we would call a what's the Sanskrit word? Shesha Avatara of Shiva. In other words, come for a particular reason. Shankaracharya is off. Shesha Avatara, full avatara would be like Rama or Krishna. But sometimes Bhagawan will take a birth in order to accomplish a very specific purpose. And so often Lord Shankaracharya is viewed as an incarnation of Shiva. As a Shesh partial avatar, like that.
Well, wait a minute. If there's Shankar, then there's the Shankaracharyas?
Yes. In the Advaita Vedanta, in the mutts, Shankaracharya established four mutts throughout India that were headed by his disciples.
Those are schools?
No, mutts are like sthanas, or they're places where the teaching is protected, and they're called mutts, muttas.
So there's Adi Shankar, Adi Shankaracharya.
When you say Adi Shankaracharya, that means the first Shankara.
Yeah.
Adi means first.
And then the other Shankaracharya.
And then there's a Sampradaya, because he planted his disciples in the four corners of India in order to protect this teaching. And then they taught, and they would have one of their students that would replace them as the head of that mutt.
And so they're all called Shankaracharyas.
And they're all called Shankaracharyas.
Okay.
Okay? So here...
Well, you never know then if they say Shankaracharya, you don't know if it's Adi Shankar.
You know by tradition, but that can become confusing.
Yeah, okay.
That's why sometimes there's some confusion over some of the texts that are assigned to Shankaracharya, whether that was Shankara or a Shankaracharya in the lineage.
Okay.
So there's been debates over
that. Adi Shankar is also called Shankaracharya.
Adi Shankaracharya is Shankaracharya.
So this is Adi Shankaracharya.
Wow,
now
I'm really confused.
This is Adi Shankaracharya.
Yeah, it's basically the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Would they call someone a Shankaracharya? Does it have to be someone who is sort of at the head of one of these schools,
yes,
one of these centers, and not a disciple of that?
That's right.
So his real name is
at the head.
It's a big cheese.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. The biggest cheese. But these are verses that are praising.
Well, how come they didn't care who was who?
They do.
No, they don't.
It's the lineage. It's okay.
Oh, it's a, okay. The lineage is more important than the who is who, huh?
Let's move on.
I don't know.
If you don't mind, let's go. Okay. Shankaram is a word for Shiva. Shankaram is a word for Shiva. Shankaracharyam is for Shankara. Shankaracharya, who we usually refer to as Shankara. Keshavam is a word for Lord Vishnu. It's a word. And Badarayanam is for Vyasa. Okay. So I'll tell you who they are. Let me finish the verse. Sutra refers to the Brahma Sutras. Bhasha refers to the commentary. Bhasha means the commentary. The commentary on the Brahma Sutras. So the sutras and the Bhasha. Okay, that's Kritau, the one who has done. Krita means literally is done, from the root Krita. What's important to understand in Sanskrit is when we use the word Krita, we have to they use the word Krita for a wide variety of verbs. So, for instance, I do the basha would mean the basha is done by. We would say in English, the basha is written by. Mm-hmm. Right? The street is done by. The street is swept by. In other words, what I'm saying is that the word krita is used, you have to replace... Like the kingdom is done by, the kingdom is ruled by, we would say, right? So they often use the word krita in order to denote what we would use as a particular verb. We wouldn't say the kingdom is done by. We would say the kingdom is ruled by. We would say the street is swept by. the Bhasha is written by. They will use the word Krita, which translates literally as is done, to denote all of those variety of verbs. Do you see what I'm saying? So here it says, the sutra and the Bhasha are done by. It means are written by, composed by. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now another thing I want to, well, let me finish that. So here, Vande, I salute, let's go to the next word, Bhagavantao, the two Bhagavans, means the two lords. It's dual. For the actual substantive for Bhagavan is Bhagavat, then Bhagavan, Bhagavantao, Bhagavataha. If I were to decline it, you haven't learned vat ending nouns yet. But if I were to decline Bhagavan, the actual substantive is Bhagavat, would go Bhagavan, nomics of singular, Bhagavantao, dual, and Bhagavataha, plural. Actually, I think it's Bhagavantaha, plural. To look that up. I think it's Bhagavantaha. So here, Bhagavantao is in the accusative, the nominative and accusative dual are the same. So Vande, I salute the two Bhagavans. Who are the two Bhagavans? Shiva, right? Shiva and Vyasa. So, but here it says, Vande Bhagavantao, I salute the two Bhagavans again and again. Punah punaha, again and again. Okay. Now, notice that's a dual there, Bhagavantao. Everybody with me on that? It's an accusative dual. Actually, you can think of Ramao. You can see that ao ending. Ramha, Ramao, Ramaha, Ramam, Ramao, Raman. So, Vande, I salute punah punaha, again and again, the two Bhagavans. Then go to the next beginning word. Sutra, Bhasha, Kritao. Who have written? Who have done the sutras and the Bhasha? Do you see the sutra and Bhasha there? So now, let me just talk about this for a minute. We'll do this when we're reading the Bhagavad Gita also. Look at this. Sutra, Bhasha, Kritao. Kritao is dual. So that means that it's going to be adjectival to Bhagavantao. So I salute the two Bhagavans who have written the sutras and the Bhasha. Now, if you look at that word, sutra, Bhasha, Kritao, that's what we call a compound. Because do you notice how with the sutra, the word sutra there, you don't know what case it is, and you also don't know whether it's singular, dual, plural, right? You just see the word sutra. You don't see sutra or sutraha. You just see sutra. Then the next word is bhasha. You don't know what case that's in. You don't know if it's nominative, accusative, singular, dual, plural. You don't know. So sutra, bhasha, and then krita. All you know is it's kritao, so you know that. Krita happens to be a past passive participle, and it means is done. And it's in the dual. And so now it's going to be adjectival to Bhagavantao. So Vande, I salute the two Bhagavans who have written, who have done. Then I have to say, who have done what? Do I want to say, who have done the Bhashas? Who have written. Okay? Who have written the Bhashas of the Sutras? Do I want to say, who have written the Bhashas and the Sutras? Do I want to say, who have written the Bhasha and the one Bhasha and the Sutras? How do I want to break this compound? Because there's no endings here. Right? And so when you learn how to break compounds, in your mind, you have to supply the endings. And now, how would I know how to break this compound? There's various rules to tell me. But I also, context helps tremendously. So I'm going to break this like this. I salute the two Bhagavans who have written the sutras and the Bhasha. Why? Because there are many sutras, and Shankara has written the Bhasha to all those sutras. Okay. Why would I say the sutras and the Bhasha? Because I could also say, perfectly legitimately in a compound, the Bhasha of the sutras. Mm-hmm. I could say that. It would be perfect. I don't say that because of the top line. And the bottom. I salute the two Bhagavans. Bhagavan Shankaracharya, who is Shankara, and Bhagavan Badarayanam, Who is Keshava? Bhadarayana, we know from the tradition, has written the Brahma Sutras, the sutras. We know that Shankara has written the Bhasha from the tradition. So now when I say, when I read, I salute the two Bhagavans again and again who have written the Sutra and the Bhasha, I would know to say Sutra and the Bhasha, not the Bhasha of the Sutra, because I'm saluting the two Bhagavans. One has written the Brahma Sutras and one has written the Bhasha to the Sutras. Do you see?
Yeah.
So the context just breaks that open for me. Now, you almost don't even have to know the rules, but you have to understand what a compound is. And in Sanskrit, they use compounds more than they don't. Right? And you just get used to it. In fact, they use compounds much more than they use endings. Right? Because look at these two words. They have no endings. But they are related to each other in a way where I automatically put in the endings. Does everybody kind of get what I'm talking about? Is anybody completely lost?
Well, I just have a question. If you would know now that Vyasa wrote the sutras and Shankara wrote the commentary,
That Vyasa wrote the sutras and Shankara wrote the Bhasha?
Yeah, that's right. If you wouldn't know that, then it would be kind of a little bit more challenging.
Huh? It would be a little bit more challenging. However, it could be, because you could say, I salute the two Bhagavans, both of whom wrote commentaries to the sutras. You know, so context is important, yeah. And that's why, you know, even just because of this, Swamiji's often said, you know, you could be in India a great pundit, a great great Sanskrit pundit, fluent in Sanskrit. But when you're reading the bhashas and the verses, you don't know what they mean because you don't have the context to understand what these compounds mean or what even is being conveyed by the sentence. That's why the Sampradaya is so important. It has to be passed on from teacher to student. But even to understand it on a more layman's level, you are completely, all of us, we are completely fluent in English. You just open any book you want and you can read it, right? But say somebody is going to give you something in math or science or chemistry or something that requires an expertise in the subject. You can read it, but you don't know what they really mean, right? So you have to study it to know, even though you can read it, you have to study it to know what's being said. And that's true in Sanskrit, of course, also. And then with Sanskrit, you have the added dimension of having to break compounds that can be broken in different ways. Can we get it clear?
Yeah. What's the difference between Shruti and a sutra?
A sutra is not a shruti. You can write sutras on anything. Like, for instance, the Panini sutras, they're grammatical sutras. And all the different schools of thought have sutras. And what they are short aphorisms that if you memorize like a string, maybe 100 of these short aphorisms, each aphorism brings to you a recollection of it, because just the laws of association. This short sutra brings to mind a whole body of knowledge. Like, for instance, an example of a sutra in the Brahma Sutras, first sutra, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now, therefore, the desire to know Brahman. It's just a little tiny sutra. Atato Brahma Jignasa. Then Shankara has written a bhasha, a commentary on this tiny sutra. Right? So now, say you've studied the commentary, you know what atta means, atato, you know what each one of those words mean. And so when you say that sutra, it brings this body of knowledge to the forefront of your mind.
So then are sutras found in the Shruti?
No.
No.
The sutras are written by Vyasa in order to codify, in a sense, the whole teaching.
Okay.
And then Shankara went and wrote the Bhasha the commentaries, the commentary to these Brahma Sutras. Brahma Sutras are really the last thing you study after you know. You need to know all of the Upanishads. You need to know some of the grammar. You need to know some of the different schools of thought, like the Nyayayikas, the Bauda, Buddhist schools that were there at Shankara's time. You need to know the Sankhya. Because all of these different schools are also debated in the Brahma Sutras. Right? Only the first portion of the Brahma Sutras establishes what the words in the Upanishads mean and gives the logic for that. The second chapter goes and looks at what all of the other schools are saying, the Charvakas, all of the different schools in India are might be saying or arguing that don't even accept the Vedas, whatever their logic is, whatever logics they're using, those logics are dealt with. You know, say one school uses a particular logic to establish a position they have that is not in accordance with the Upanishads. Then that logic is analyzed, taken apart, and the fallacious reasoning is revealed. That's the point of the second chapter. So it goes like that. So it's hard to study the Brahma Sutras unless you already have a knowledge of all of these things. So you won't know what he's talking about. Okay, so here we have, let's go from the beginning, Shankaram. Just read along, Shankaram. Shankaracharyam.
Keshavam.
Badarayanam. Sutra Bhashya Kritao. Vande. Bhagavantao.
Punah,
punah. Punah, punah. So, Shankaram Shankaracharyam. Sorry, let me sing it through to get the tone right. Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badrayanam Sutra Bhashakritau Vande Bhagavantau Punah, punah. Shankaram Shankaracharyam
Keshavam Badarayanam
Sutra Bhashya Kritau Vande
Sutra Bhashya Kritau Vande
Sutra Bhashya Kritau Vande Bhagavantau punah punah.
Bhagavantau punah punah.
Shankaram Shankaracharyam.
Shankaram Shankaracharyam.
Keshavam Badarayanam.
Keshavam Badarayanam.
Sutra Bhashya Kritau Vande.
Sutra Bhashya Kritau Vande.
Bhagavantau punah punah. Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Kritau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Kritau Vande Bhagavantau punah punah Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Kritau Vande Bhagavantau punah punah. Okay, good. Let's take a little break. Verse 18, please. Antavanta ime dehaha Nityasyokta sharirinaha
Nityasyokta sharirinaha
Anashino prameyasya
Anashino prameyasya
Tasmad yudhyasva bharata
Tasmad yudhyasva bharata
Yaenam veti hantaram
Yaenam veti hantaram
Yaschainam manyate hatam
Yaschainam manyate hatam
Ubhautau na vijanitaha
Nayam hanti nahanyate.
Nayam hanti nahanyate.
Najayate mriyate vakadachate.
Najayate mriyate vakadachate.
Nayam putwa pavita vanapuyaha.
Nayam putwa pavita vanapuyaha.
Ajo nitya shashvato yam puranaha.
Ajo nitya shashvato yam puranaha.
Nahanyate hanyamane sharire.
Nahanyate hanyamane sharire.
Veda vinashinam nityam.
Veda vinashinam nityam.
Yaenam ajyam avyayam.
Yaenam ajyam avyayam.
Veda vinashinam nityam.
Veda vinashinam nityam.
Yaenam ajyam avyayam.
Yaenam ajyam
avyayam. Yaenam ajyam avyayam.
Yaenam ajyam avyayam.
Katam sat purusha partha. Kam khatayati hantikam.
Kam khatayati hantikam.
Let's do it together from 18.
Antavanta ime dehaha nityasyoka sharirinaha anashino prameyasya tasmadyudhyasva bharata yaenam veti hantaram. Yes, chainam manyate hatam ubhautana vijanitaha nayam hanti nahanyate najayate mriyate vakadachata nayam putva bhavita vanabhuyaha ajo nitya shashvato yam puranaha nahanyate hanyamane sharire. Veda vinashinam nityam yaenam ajyam avyayam katam sat purusha partha kam ghatayati hantikam.
Good. That's good. Let's take out the basha. And we're on bottom of the second page, two lines up, starting with Nanu. Or verse 21, the bottom of the second page, starting with Nanu. So repeat after me this first sentence. Nanu vidyapya vidusha.
Nanu
vidyapya vidusha.
Vidyapya vidusha.
Let me break this sandhi and then you can see what's actually happening here. Vidya api avidusha. Avidushaha, actually. Vidya api avidushaha. Nanu vidyapya vidushaha. Forget the visarga because we're going to try to read it without it first. Nanu vidyapya vidusha.
Nanu vidyapya vidusha.
Eva vidiyate.
Eva vidiyate.
Eva vidiyate.
Eva vidiyate.
Vidita vidyasya.
Vidita vidyasya.
Pishta peshanavad.
Pishta
peshanavad.
Pishta peshanavad.
Vidya vidhana anartakyat.
Vidya vidhana.
If I don't break the sandhi, vidya vidhana vidhana narta kyat. Vidya vidhana narta kyat.
Vidya vidhana narta
kyat.
Vidya vidhana narta kyat.
Good. I'm going to read it now with the sandhi broken, okay, and repeat after me. Nanu
vidya api abidushaha. Nanu?
Nanu. Vidya
abidushaha. Okay, look at you have vidya, and then the word api. E plus a is ya. So vidya api abidushaha. Everybody see it? The Visarga drops because of the Ava. A plus Visarga plus any vowel except the Visarga drops. So, Nanu Vidya Api Avidushaha.
Nanu Vidya Api Avidushaha.
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 Eva Vidhiyate. That's V, short E, Vidhiyate.
Vidhiyate.
Vidhiyate. Virita Vidyasya.
Virita Vidyasya.
Two words. Virita Vidyasya.
Virita Vidyasya.
Pishta Peshanavat.
Pishta.
The first word is pishta.
Pishta.
Second word is peshana.
Peshana.
And it has this affix vat, which means like. So pishta, peshana vat.
Pishta, peshana
vat. Vidya, vidana. Vidya, vidana. Vidana.
Vidya, vidana.
Anarthakyat.
Anarthakyat.
So vidya is really a feminine noun. Vidya. Next word is vidana. Vidana. Next word is anarthakyat. Anarthakyat. Everybody say it?
Anarthakyat.
So pishta, peshanavat, vidya, vidana, anarthakyat. Go ahead.
Pishta, Peshanavat, Vidya, Vidana,
Anarthakyat. Repeat after me. Pishta, Peshanavat.
Pishta, Peshanavat.
Vidya, Vidana.
Vidya, Vidana.
Anarthakyat.
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 Okay. So just follow. I'm going to read this now. Nanu vidya api avidushaha eva vidiyate vidita vidyasya peshta pishta peshanavat vidya vidana anarthakyat. What do you see? Okay. Let's look at what it means. Nanu is an indeclinable, and it is usually used in the sense of introducing a question or a doubt. So if you want to translate it, it would be like, well, indeed, certainly in this case. So this is what it says. So nanu, vidya. Vidya is in the nominative singular feminine noun. You haven't learned feminines yet. So vidya, knowledge api, also. Right? Vidya api, knowledge also. Avidushaha. Vidvan means one who has knowledge. Avidvan, one who doesn't have knowledge. Vidushaha is in this case, in the genitive singular. Vidushaha. You haven't learned vat ending nouns yet. Okay, so Vidushaha is the genitive singular of Vidvan. So Avidushaha is the genitive singular of Avidvan. So Avidushaha means for one who doesn't have knowledge, one who has ignorance. Eva, indeed, or definitely. Vidiyate, passive voice. Vidiyate means is enjoined, is prescribed or is enjoined. Vidiyate.
Enjoined.
Enjoined means to prescribe or to order. So it's in E-N-J-O-I-N-D, enjoined. It's prescribed. Ava. Ava's an indeclinable. It means indeed, definitely, alone. For Ava, indeed, definitely, alone, depending upon which one of those words is best used in the context. So, nanu vidya api avidushaha eva vidyate. Knowledge is prescribed. Knowledge also is prescribed. Vidya api, knowledge also is enjoined vidyate for the avidvan alone. Okay, only for the one who doesn't have a knowledge. Vidita vidyasya. Trust my translation here. I'm going to talk about this next compound in a minute. Vidita means is known. Vidyasya means for the one for whom knowledge is known. The one for whom the knowledge is known. It's called a bahuvrahi compound, and I'll talk about that in a minute. For the one for whom the vidya, the knowledge, vidya, vidita, is known. Okay. It's just word for word now. Pishta comes from the root pish, and it's a pishta, it's a passive participle. Pish means to grind, like to grind rice or to grind grain. Pishta is ground. So just like pishta, so just take it as is ground, like the grinding of rice or the grinding of grain. Pishta is ground. Peshana also comes from the root pish. And it means grinding. So it's a gerund, this patient of grinding. But, like the grinding of what is ground. Pishta is ground. Patient of grinding of the ground. It's a compound. Pishta, patient of it, like the grinding, the patient of the pishta, of the ground, compound. Pishta, patient of it. Vidya, vidana. Vidya is knowledge. Vidana, the enjoining. It's like vidyate is the actual verb is vidha, and it means to enjoin, or to prescribe, to order. So vidana means prescribing or enjoining. Okay. The enjoining vidya, vidana, the enjoining of knowledge, compound, anarthakyat. Because of the uselessness. Artha is the word means purpose or meaning. So anartha, no purpose or useless. Anartha kya is the state of being useless. That ya there, do you see the anartha kya? That ya ending is like the ta or twan ending. There's three endings or three of three forms that give the ness or the state of being to the noun. One is the ta ending, one is the tuam ending, and one is giving the ya ending. So anarthakya, the state of being useless. Anarthakyat is in the, like ramat, in the ablative singular. You haven't learned yet, ramat. Because of being. Okay, ramat. So because of being useless, because of what being useless, because of the uselessness, anarthakyat, of enjoining vidana, because of the uselessness, anarthakyat, of the enjoining of knowledge, vidya, vidana, anarthakyat, because of the uselessness of vidana, of the enjoining of knowledge. See it? Vidya, vidana, anarthakyat. Because of the uselessness of enjoining vidya, knowledge. Pishta, patient of it, like the grinding of what has been ground. Pishta, patient of it, like the grinding of what has been ground. Vidita, vidyasya. Notice how I'm reading backwards? That our syntax is just about completely the opposite of Sanskrit syntax. So initially, when you're first learning Sanskrit, you just read it backwards. After you've known Sanskrit, then you'll start thinking in that order. But initially, it's a lot easier for you if you just read backwards. So, Vidita Vidyasya, for the one for whom, Vidya, knowledge, is known. If the knowledge is known, right? So for the one for whom the knowledge is known, there is it's useless to enjoin knowledge for one for whom that knowledge is known. Just like grinding what has already been ground. Okay. So this says to take from this is the question that's under discussion now. Vidya also is enjoined for the one who doesn't have knowledge, right? Because of the uselessness of enjoining knowledge for the one who already has that knowledge, vidita vidyasya, for the one who already has that knowledge, like the grinding of what has already been ground. There's no purpose in enjoining it. Everybody see it?
This is
The doubt's going to be developed.
Okay.
It's being developed. Okay? Everybody see it? Okay? This is the only sentence I'm going to do. I want to show you a couple of things about this. So I think what's going to be helpful now for a while for you is to kind of understand a few little things about Sanskrit as we go along. So I want to describe some things here. One thing that always is being used in Sanskrit is what we call a past passive participle. And I want to be able to point this past passive participle out to you all the time. It comes all the time, so I want to be able to say this is a past passive participle and have you know what I'm talking about. Sanskrit uses the passive voice much more than we do in English. In fact, in English we think the passive voice is kind of weak. And we should avoid it, actually. We want to use the active voice more. Well, in Sanskrit, they more often use the passive voice. And the past passive participle is really putting the passive voice into an adjectival form that can be declined. So let me show you how it's constructed, and then I'll give some examples of it. It's constructed by taking the verbal root, and adding either a ta or, in some cases, an ikka. Ta or ikka. Like, for instance, the root vid that we've just had. We've just had this root vid. Vid happens to be one of the roots that takes ikka. There's a long list of roots that take an E before an affix in certain cases, and a long list of roots that don't. For you, what you need to understand is that these kind of terminations will either be ta or itta, so that you can recognize them in either case. So now, say for vid, it happens to take itta for it to form a past passive participle, and that form would be vid, there's the root to know, vidita. Vidita. And vidita now is going to mean is known, is or was. Actually, it's going to be this, is or was known, depending upon the sentence, what's appropriate for the sentence. When the ending is just ta, and you have a root that ends in a consonant, like for instance, bud plus ta, you're going to be running into a lot of different sundi rules. And I'll get into those now, but now I just want to show you a couple of examples. Like here, bud plus ta happens to be buddha. Where the aspirate da goes to It's first, the third letter, so bud becomes bud, and then that causes this to become the aspirate. And so you get this form, Buddha. And that also means is known. I don't expect you to understand this. I just want you to know that, see a few examples of this, and then I'll be able to...
Can you make that a little more clear under the da?
Bu, there's the da, and there's the aspirate dental da, Buddha. And that also means vid and Buddha are synonyms. And so in either case, this is going to be is known. We have another example here of a past passive participle from the root pish, which means to grind, plus ta. Pish means to grind, plus the ta. And you have a lingual and a dental coming together. Doesn't really matter in the order. The lingual and dental come together. The dental will take the lingual. And so pishya would look like this. Pishta. To grind is ground. To know is known. To know is known. Sometimes it'll look like this. You have a gum to go plus ta. That the nasal drops, it becomes gutta. There's the ta. Gutta. Is gone. To go is gone.
Where's the tone in the second line?
Bishka plus ta. Mm-hmm. If you've got a lingual plus a dental, then the dental will change.
Okay.
So you have Pishka, even though it's coming second. It doesn't matter in the order. Pishka. And so this past passive participle, I'm going to give you another one here. It comes, it's pervasive to the language. And so I want to give you a few examples so that I can say when we're reading that this is a past passive participle. So I want to just show for a minute how it's used before we get into all of the grammar. It's coming much later. So I kind of want to introduce you to concepts as we're reading here, knowing that you're not going to actually learn that, but I want to be able to say this is a past passive participle. Everybody see what I'm doing? Do you have kind of this down for now? Okay, let me show you another one that we just had. If I have hrita, hri means to take away or to remove, plus ta, hrita, simple, no sandhi, hrita, is removed. So now, once we have this construction called a past passive participle, it's just used as an adjective in the sentence. Like, for instance, I'm going to erase this now, okay? I'll give you a couple of instances. If I take the word, the neuter noun, pustakam, in the nominative, pustakam. Pustakam means a book. So if I said pustakam bhutam, the book is known. Right? If I took another neuter noun, dhanam means wealth. Dhanam, bhutam, the wealth is taken. So pustakam buddham, the book is known, the wealth is taken. This is, do you see how this is adjectival, how it's a green? Right? I could also say something like this. Ramaha gataha. intransitive verbs like gum can mean is gone. It can also be transitive. Rama went. Ramaha gataha. An intransitive verb, which doesn't take an object, can be translated transitively. So, Ramaha gataha. Rama went.
Is gataha a past one?
Past has a participle, but because it's intransitive, it can be translated actively. So Rama went, but Ramaha gataha. I want you to see how it's being used as an adjective.
What's intransitive mean?
Intransitive means that it. Yeah, I want to get some other words here. Intransitive means that the verb doesn't take an object. Like if I say I went, the act of going or I go, it reflects back on the subject. It's not like I hit the ball or it takes an object.
Okay.
So, anyway, this is what I want you to know. That there are past passive participles, right, that are formed by the adding of ta to the verbal root. There will be lots of sandhi involved. And so I want to be able to say this is a past passive participle. And it means is gone, is known, is whatever the verb is, passive construction. And it's actually declined as an adjective in agreement with whatever is the subject.
So when we have is gone or is known,
mm-hmm.
it's passive, but it's not past, right? I mean, it's not what.
You can say is or was. Depends on the context.
Mm-hmm. But
so the past passive participle can be is known or was known.
So is or, known is also considered past.
It isn't considered past, but the name of this is past passive participle. However, in the context, it's translated as is or was known. Yeah. But the name of the construction is called past passive participle.
And, I'm sorry, one more question. On the Ramaha Gataha,
mm-hmm.
even if you translate Gataha as when,
yeah.
when is a verb, it's not a...
Yes, that's just what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Intransitive verbs can be translated and often are translated in the active. If the verb, even though you're using a passive construction, it's translated in the active. So that's why if I'm reading a sentence, I say Ramaha gataha, Rama went,
mm-hmm.
and this is a past passive participle being translated actively.
I see.
That's because intransitive verbs can be translated actively. Okay? So anyway, this might be too hard.
Yeah, it's pretty hard for me.
You have to have, your mind has to be in a certain state for me to be able to do this for you. Because what I'm trying to make available to you before you learn it is that if we're going through the Bhasha and Swamiji says, or I say this is a past passive participle, I want in your mind to know that there is a past passive participle and what that is. Just to kind of have that knowledge that such a thing exists. I want you to have the knowledge that compounds exist and that compounds don't have endings in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that if I can say this is a compound and you watch me when I'm translating it put in all of these endings but they're not there, that would be confusing unless I say there's such a thing as compounds. That's all I want you to know. Like, look, let's say, this is a famous example. Rama Lakshmanau. Dual ending. Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha. Rama, Lakshmanau. Rama, Lakshman is Rama's brother. So if I say Rama, Lakshmanau, what does your mind want to do with it? Rama and Lakshmana. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what it says. It just says Rama, Lakshmanau. If I were to break this, compounds need to be broken. If I were to break Rama Lakshmanau, Ramascha,
Lakshmanascha. Rama and Lakshmana. And usually, with the use of the word and cha, it will either come at the very end of the series or after each member of the series. So, Rama and Lakshmana and. Rama Lakshmana.
Well, why do they do compounds? Why don't they just do it the long way?
It's part of the language.
Okay.
Ramascha, Lakshmanascha. Rama Lakshmana. So, you see here that there's no. Okay. Everybody kind of get it? What if I had, there's another type of dwendal compound, sukha. This is a set, sukha dukkha. Done in the singular, because it's looked at as a set. But it's sukha and dukkha.
Yeah.
Sukha dukkha. If you hear sukha dukkha, it's not the dukkha of sukha or the dukkha in sukha. Right? Sukha dukkha. Sukham, sukha, and dukkha. And it's put in the singular. Some, like people, are put in the dual. If I had Rama, Lakshmana, Sita, Sita's cha, then it would be in the plural. See if I so much confuse you, I'll do a mass doing Bharata, another brother. Rama Lakshmana Bharataha. Rama and Lakshmana and Bharata. You see?
Well, they have big families, huh?
Hmm? And now, go ahead.
If we had karma phalam,
yeah.
That is only ever going to be. That is not and, right?
Now this is another
the
example
of karma.
Karma phala, the result phala of karma. Probably that it wouldn't make any sense to have
dual
karma and phala, but it could. You could say both the karma and the phala are such and such. But no, normally with this compound, it'd be karmanaha phalam from karman. Karmanaha. This is the genitive. Genitive of the root karman. Karmanaha phalam. The fruit of the action. It could also be the fruit of the actions. Normally it's not translated by that, but the point is that whether this is singular, dual, plural in the compound, you don't know. That's going to be context. Right? So this could be karmanoho, palam, the fruit of the two actions. Everybody kind of get a hang of what this is? You're going to have to, and there are definite rules to understanding how compounds can be broken. There's rules of relationship, but within those many rules of relationship, like here's this called, it's called the Shashti Tat Purusha, means in this particular compound, it has a genitive, the first member has a genitive relationship to the second member. This is called a dwandwa. This type of compound, the two words are held together by the word cha. There are different types of compounds, but say you know what are the possibilities of the different types of compounds, then there's still going to be more than one way of those good possibilities. They can which of those possibilities is going to apply, and that will be. You'll understand that by the context. You would know probably to translate this as the fruit of actions instead of the fruit and the actions. And then there's another type of compound. Say if I took karma. Pola is a neuter noun. Okay? But what if I had a word that went like this? Karma polaha.
when the poem is a neuter noun, if I see something like this, oh, this is a different kind of compound. This kind of compound is called a Bahuvrihi compound. And I know that from the context, but also Pola would never be masculine, like Ramaha, Polaha. Then, how would I translate this? The one who has the fruits of the action, the one for whom the fruits of the actions are. So this becomes now a name for somebody. Mr. Karma Polaha. The one, Mr. Karma Polaha, the one who has Karma Pola. Okay? So now we just had an example of that in this compound. Vidika, Vidyaha. Vidyasya. I'm going to do this. Do you see it in here, vidita vidyasya? I'm going to do this compound in the nominative singular. Vidita vidyaha. This is one of those that we call bahuvrihi, because vidya is a feminine noun. The nominative singular would be vidita vidya, and that would mean the knowledge is known. Vidya, knowledge, nominative singular, vidita. So if I had like this, a compound. I know that vidya is a nominative, is a feminine noun. Vidita. Vidita vidya. The knowledge, vidita, is known. Okay? But this is vidita vidya. Vidya is now being used as a masculine noun. So, now instead of saying the knowledge which is known, blah blah blah, this is Mr. Vidita vidya. The one for whom the knowledge, and I say Mr. because this is masculine, yes. The one for whom the knowledge is known. That's called a bahuvrihi.
So what would be the feminine nominative case?
It would be vidita vidya. And, but, no, vidya. And it would be just like this, but the context would tell me that they're referring to a person who has these characteristics. If I see vidita vidya, that just tells me the knowledge is known. The knowledge. This is a past passive participle. The knowledge is known. Everyone see that? If I see this, vidita vidya, I see a masculine ending there. So this isn't just going to be knowledge, because it now has a masculine ending. So I'll know this is a special type of compound that becomes a title for a person, or a title for an object. The person is a vidita vidyaha. The person is one who is a vidita vidyaha, one for whom the knowledge is known.
So the lower one can be two things. It can both be a compound and a title for a feminine.
That's right. And this one can't. This one can only be a title.
And that's just because it's putting a masculine ending on a feminine word?
Well, that tells you for sure that it's a bahuvrihi, because a feminine noun can never become masculine. And so if you see this, a masculine or neuter noun, or a neuter and feminine noun being treated like a masculine noun, that's a giveaway. So look at this now, and I'll just show you why you're going to know this from the sentence.
And that means it would be a title.
It would be a title. Okay. Look at your sentence here that we've been working on. None doubt. Vidya also avidushaha eva vidyate. Vidya also for the avidvan definitely or indeed vidyate is enjoined. Everybody see that? Vidya also for the avidvan avidushaha indeed vidyate is enjoined. That much clear? Now here, vidita vidyasya. Vidita is known, vidya knowledge. Vidya is feminine. So vidita vidyasya is a bahuvrihi, for the one for whom knowledge is known, for the one who has knowledge, for the one for whom the vidya is known. Pishtapeshanavat, like the grinding of the ground. Vidya, vidana, vidhana, anartakya, because of the uselessness of enjoining vidhana, vidya, for like the grinding of what has been ground, for the one for whom the vidya is known. So what if I said like this? Because of the uselessness of enjoining knowledge for Mr. Vidita Vidya, right? That becomes a title for a person who is a Vidita Vidya. For a person who has this characteristic, for that person, the knowledge, the vidya, is known. So a person for whom the knowledge is known, that person is called a Vidita Vidya. Vidita Vidyasya is genitive.
And ballpark. How many different kinds of compounds?
Four. The four groups.
Good. I thought you were going to say 35.
Four major groups. Yeah, and they're all logical. This is not a big deal. So I just want to kind of introduce you. I want you to know that they're compounds, and we'll slowly just look at different ones so that you get used to seeing these strings of words and get used to knowing that for these strings of words, you have to put endings in. Of a string of words, the only word that's going to have an ending, a declensional ending, is the last one. Right? And that's what makes it a compound. The endings are dropped off of all the other ones.
Carol, can I ask a quick question about the participle?
Yeah.
The roots are all these verbs.
Yes. You take the...
Not like
no. Past passive participle, you take a verbal root... any verbal root, and you add the affix ta or itta, and then it's declined like an adjective.
You know, I just have a question in terms of what you were saying. You want us to recognize that there's a PPP, right?
Yeah.
But, so where's the line there between what you want us to get and what we don't really necessarily need to get? You know, that still is kind of not 100% clear for me. I mean, you want...
I want you to know that a passive participle is declined like an adjective and is the past tense, I mean the passive tense of a verb,
right?
And that it's formed by adding the affix ta or itta.
Okay.
And so that when we're reading, I can say this is a past passive participle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I might go and put it on the board to show you how it's declined, how it's formed. But I want you to know that there's such a thing. Just like I want you to know there's compounds. Now you should know that there's compounds that have a genitive relationship, like the fruit of karma. There are compounds that have a dwandva relationship, which means cha, Rama and Lakshmana and Bharata. There's some compounds that are called bahuvrihis. They're used as titles, like vidita vidyasya. So now you're starting to know, okay, there's compounds. And these compounds are used in various ways in a sentence. Why I'm even talking about this now is because if you don't know that there's such a thing as a compound and that there's such a thing as past passive participle, there's no way to understand these sentences. Because compounds and past passive participles are pervasive. You can barely have a sentence that doesn't have a compound or past passive participle. Yeah. So that's why I want to be able to say this is a past passive participle. Later, we'll learn all of the Sandhi rules toward making them in recognition. Internal Sandhi.
You call it the or itta?
Yes, the or itta. But the thing is, because of Sandhi, sometimes that ta can be hidden. You know? And so you have to see different... in fact, look, I'll show you something. Take out your Sanskrit. Oh, yeah. Go to page 91. This section is listing, if you see on page 91, on page 90, at the bottom of the page, it says, the past passive participle is formed by adding ta to the root, as shlu to here, shruta. Okay? Then it goes on to other types of participles. So that's easy. If you say shru plus ta, shruta, no problem. But there's going to be other things that you need to know. But just look at this, page 91, this list. Let's just look at some of them. Us plus ta. You see us to throw? Us, asta. There you see? Us, asta. Op, opta. Come, kanta. There are some roots that take a long ah. And then the M, when it comes together with the ta, is going to change to the dental ta. So come would be kanta. Krish. Krishta. Remember when I said a ta comes together with a lingual? It changes to the lingual. So krish, krishta. Krum. That's another M ending one. It belongs to a group where the a becomes long. And then the M plus the ta, the M will take the dental. Krum, kranta. Everyone see that? Kram kranta. Crude. Crude. Remember I gave you the example of root? When a root ends in a aspirate da plus the ta, it takes this form. Where the ta is replaced by the ta, and this goes to its third letter. And so here's another example, crude, which means anger, to be angry, plus ta, same thing. Crude ta.
So that has nothing to do with the ta, when the ta comes together with the vowel, it takes the.
No, no. This is a different. This is a different sundi that you haven't learned it yet. Okay. So look at the other one. Okay, crude. Clum. This is another M ending where it becomes clanta. Kshum, kshanta. You guys see it? You with me? Kshum, kshanta. Go to the next. Kshum. Now this one, there's a lot that it's the same pattern. Here you've got an aspirate da, here you have an aspirate ba plus ta. This ba goes to its third letter, this aspirate ba, and the ta changes to the aspirate da. Same thing.
Where do you read up on that in terms of where what goes in terms of?
You just learn the patterns. And there's a pattern that says when this ends in an aspirate,
uh-huh.
It will go to the third letter, and then this will go to the aspirate. So you would end up learning it. But the best way to do, and we'll go when we go through all the Sundays, we'll see it. But you get used to seeing this and this for roots that end in. Ba, for that ba to go to the unaspirate ba. So, chubta, chubta. You'll see that pattern.
It's part of the Sunday, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Internal, it's called internal Sunday. Then, kan, kata. Here you don't have the nasal, so it's an exception. Gum, gata. The nasal drops. So there's some of these, there's exceptions. Most follow the rules, but he gets a lot that have exceptions. Guda. That's a whole series of rules that get you to there. From gu to guda. And there's a handful, three or four roots that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then jan, jata. Tush, tushta. That's when we saw a bunch of those too. We have a
Like we had a fish. Right? Here's tush. Fish, tush. Where's the other one? Krish. Pasta. Pishta. Tushta. Krishta. So you get used to seeing the anyway, that's enough. You, if you want, you can just read down the list if you want to kind of see the different forms that the past passive participle takes. And eventually we'll just go through all of a Sunday for each type and you get used to seeing them. You know? So what I would like to do is when we come across, when we're reading and we get to a past passive participle, I'd like to be able to write that past passive participle on the board. Remind you of what it is, you know, and so that you get totally used to spotting those and understanding how they work in a sentence. Is everybody okay? I want to do one more thing before we stop for the day. Take out your declensions. And go to the masculine e-ending nouns. In your book, it's on page 20. We've learned the nominative for Hari, right? Harihi, Hari, Hariyaha. That one we've learned. Harim, Hari, Hariyaha. The accusative we're going to do. Now, I want to point something out. The duals in the duals for the nominative and the accusative are always the same. Even whether it's an ending noun, e-ending noun, u-ending, these duals are always the same. Okay, it's going to be context that tells you. So now look at this. Harim, Hari, Harin. Where the first ending is im, harim. The second is actually not an ending. It's a rule that says the e is lengthened. Hari. Okay. And the third one, the e is lengthened and you get the affix in, in. Harin. Let me see if they do it that way. Yeah. The affix is actually in, and you learn that the E is lengthened. You have to memorize it. Remember when I said that for the vowel-ending nouns, you have to memorize the pattern? Because there are many rules that go into rules that say, in this case, you lengthen the vowel, and in this case, you give the vowel guna and add this ending. In this case, this ending is replaced by this ending. It's too much. When we do the, if we ever do Panini Sutras, we can see kind of the brilliance of all of that. For now, when they're vowel ending nouns, you just want to memorize the pattern. Okay? So here the pattern is harim, hari, harin. You see that? Harim, hari, harin. Do you remember what the ending nouns are? Ramam. Ramal, Raman, right? You can see Ramam, Harim, right? Ramam and Harim. Then Hari, for its Ram, it's Ramal. But Hari, and then Harin, Raman. See that there's a similarity there? We learn the masculine. This. Ramaha, Ramal, Ramaha, Ramam, Ramal. Actually, I'm going to go so that you make sure to note that.
Same.
Raman. That's the masculine of. Here's the E. Harihi. See Ramaha. Harihi. See a similarity? Hari. Not similar. It's a bending in the vowel. And this is important here. This, unless you understand this, when you see that aha, you're going to think of Ramaha. But this is actually Hari becomes Hare plus aha Hariyaha. That has to be memorized. Harihi, Hari, Hariyaha. You get tripped up. The accusative is Harim. Ramam, Harim. See it? Same. Same. Harim. If you know this and you see that, you should know. If you see this, then you see this, you should know. Okay. If you see this and you know this, you should know. Similarities. This will trip you unless you know that in the nominative plural, there's these rules. Hari takes guna and becomes hare. And to that, the us is us. Aha ending is added, as for aha. A plus a. A takes its semi-vowel equivalent and becomes a. So then you get hariyaha. You've got to know, understand that, and memorize it.
So there could be a yo ending masculine.
There could be. Yes, there are very many, but it could be, yes. Then you have to know the vocabulary, but... not common. Maybe if you see this, it's going to be an E ending. Okay. Did you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, everybody get this?
I'm not quite sure the last thing that you said there. No, just the last line, yeah. What you were after there.
Here?
Yeah.
When you read this, Hariyaha, there's no E in there.
Uh-huh.
For you to be able to recognize that that's an E ending noun. You say Hariyaha, how do you know that's an E ending noun? You have to know that Hari becomes Hare and takes its semi-vowel equivalent, which is A,
uh-huh.
plus the, in order to recognize or just memorize the pattern. Because so you just look at that word, what would make you think
mm-hmm.
that that's an E ending noun? Other than you've memorized the pattern,
mm-hmm.
or you really understand, you know, guna and semi-vowel equivalent.
Right.
Do you get it?
Yeah. I was thinking, well, at least I memorized it.
Yes. The most important thing now is to be able to just recite it. Now, these are nominatives, these are accusatives. Okay? I'm going to show you one other thing now. Stop. Look at your, actually, I should have left that on the board. Look at your book on page... on page 21. Do you see Vayaso Balim Bakshayati? Everybody see that? Vayasa is a crow. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, crow, bird. Vayasa Balim. Balim means an offering. So if you're doing a ritual, the bali is the offering. So here, vayasaha, everybody see the a plus vasarga plus afghans, it goes vayaso balim bakshiyati. The crow eats the balim. Balim is nominative, is accusative singular. Harim, hari, hariyaha. E ending accusative singular. The vayasa, nominative singular, bakshiyati, eats the balim.
I'm sorry, I don't get the
vayasaha. The visarga becomes o.
Oh, because
sandhi. Sandhi, right? A plus visarga plus off consonant or a visarga goes to o. So you have vayasaha balim bhakshayati.
Really see that? Let's do a couple more. Then.
So that's the crow eats the...
The crow eats the offering. The oblation. So the oblations are usually, the offerings are usually food. So the crow, and he ate them. Okay. Let's look at the next one. Nripati Rarin Jayati. Sandhi. Nripati hi. Arin Jayati.
Except our ah, followed by visarga, followed by soft consonant or vowel, the visarga goes to ra. Nripati rarin. A dental combined with a palatal will go to the corresponding palatal. A dental with a palatal goes to the corresponding palatal. You can look on page 12 of the handout to read that. So a dental followed by a palatal goes to the corresponding palatal. So you get nripati rarin jayati. So let's look at this for a minute. Nripati hi arin jayati. The king, nripati is king, conquers from G, Jaya. The one king conquers the enemies, plural, Arin, or Karin. What if I said
the enemy? The enemy.
What would this say? Arin. Nripatihi Arin Jayati. The king conquers the one enemy. The king conquers the two enemies. Everybody see?
Mm-hmm.
What if I had this? Repetim. Still in class. I'll call you back, though. Yeah, I'm running late, but I'll call you afterwards. Yeah, I will. Okay. Yeah, that's half an hour. Take it back. Okay. There's a team. Arihi. Jayati. How do you do it, Sunday? Okay. Nripatim. Arihi. Jayati. What does that say? King, enemy, conquers. What does it say?
The enemy.
King
the enemy conquers.
The king.
Yeah, this is nominative now.
Yeah.
Harihi. Hari, Hariyaha, Harim, Hari, Harin, Arihi, Arihi, Ari, Ariyaha, Arim, Arin, Ari, Arim, Ari, Arin. Arihi is, what case is that? Nominative singular. What case is this?
Accusative singular.
Accusative singular. What is this? It's third person singular. So, yeah, since this is nominative case, it becomes the subject.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy conquers the king. Let me take these little, oops, these middle things off.
by it like this. You see the difference here? It just changed the case. Right? What if I had, and I put this in singular, this one here is in plural. I could say, to make it just the same as this. Nripatim, the enemy, conquers the kings. Plural. What if I said, Nripati Arin Jayata.
No.
What's the subject?
Nripati.
Nripati is dual.
The two kings conquer.
The two kings.
Okay.
Two kings is nominative.
Actually, this could be nominative or accusative because the duals are the same.
Yeah.
But what is this verb, jayata?
Two,
mm-hmm. Two people conquer. Two conquer, right? So Nripati, the two kings, Jayataha conquer, dual, dual, dual. Subject dual, verb dual. Nripati, Jayataha, the two kings conquer, but the one into enemy. See that? What if I had. Nripatayaha Arin Jaminti. Nripatayaha.
The two kings. Yeah, no, the many kings.
Yeah, many kings.
Many kings conquer the many enemies.
Harihi, Harihi, Hari, Hariyaha. Nripatihi, Nripati, Nripatayaha. The many kings, Jayanti, conquer Arin. The many, many enemies. See how it works?
Mm-hmm.
Then you understand that, then you have to put all the Sundays in. So I say, well, I put this, if I put the Sundays in, this would become like this. Nripatayaha parin nripato rin jayanti. Nripatayo is nripatayaha. The a becomes a vagraha. The dental na changes to a palatal nya before the palatal ja. So, nripato ring jayanti.
Can you just explain one thing on that?
Yeah.
When the up comes above graha, why does the up come to yo?
Well, the rule is this. If you have an followed by a visarga, followed by a soft consonant or the letter a, then the A and the Vagraha, and the Visarga go to O. And if the following letter happens to be an A, that A is replaced by a Vagraha. You see? Let me write this with the Sandhi. Nripatin. Nripat. What's that? Oh, that's from this. Okay. Nripatin. Rin. Arihi. Arir. Arir. Jayati. The in and I just come together naturally. Nripatin. Arir. E. Short, you know, any vowel except R, A, followed by visarga, followed by a soft consonant or vowel, the R goes, the visarga goes to R. So, Nripatin, Arir, Jayati. The enemy conquers the kings. Mm-hmm.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.